So pour out your power in the love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, saints. Trust that you all are doing well. Is that your desire? Do you want to see him? Amen. You want to see him in his word. I believe that's what we come here, saints. You know, we come here, amen, so that we can get something. I got it right here. Bella was there. Bella messaged me back there and she's like, remember to tell him this. And I thought maybe I'd forgotten. I had the note here. Amen. Just before I continue, let's just remember Sister Monica wanted to mention that at 12:35 her class will be practicing, or to at least be here in the sanctuary by that time. And Zach Black needs to be here as well, wherever he's at. So make sure you do that. Praise the Lord. Because we have youth service. This afternoon, it's Youth Sunday. Amen. You love the Lord? Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's just go to the scriptures this morning. And just continue to remember Brother Wade and Brother Dale as they continue to travel. I think Brother Wade, he's speaking this morning in Kentucky. I believe so. I believe it's in Kentucky. And also, as it was mentioned this morning, remember Brother Claude, and since he's in the hospital. Also, Brother Joe Silas, he messaged me last night, and he asked that you'd remember his family in prayer, his Sister Gwen's family in prayer, because I think her aunt, which would be her mom's sister, passed away. So they're there with the family. I think in Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken. So remember them in prayer as well. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Amen. Saints, you know, I believe we come to the house of God, amen, to, you know, it's almost like, you know, when you go to a football game, if you've ever been to a football game, and you see the people, you know, they're there, the players are there, and they're in a huddle, you know, but you don't go to the football game to see the football players just to be in a huddle for 30, 40 minutes, right? Or for 2 hours, you know, you pay a lot of money for a ticket that you purchase to go see a football game to see your team win, right? To see, not for them to be in a huddle. Amen. And because what the people want is the results that come out of the huddle, you see? And so I believe that's why we're here this morning, saints. We're here as a team, amen. We're here in a huddle, amen, to hear from our coach, amen, who is the Holy Spirit in this hour, amen. And what the world wants, amen, wants to see is that people that have huddled, what they planned, amen, they want to see the results of that, amen. Because saints, let me tell you what, the world wants to see a true living Christ living in this hour. Amen. They're tired of hypocrisy. They're tired of somebody saying something and not living something. Amen. We want to live the word of God. Sure, we make mistakes. We fall and we fall flat on our face. But saints, the world wants to see a true living Christ in this hour. The world wants to see somebody really win. And you and I are the winners in this hour. It's declared in the word of God. Amen. So let's not just concentrate on the huddle every Sunday and every Wednesday. We come here and huddle. We hear from our coach, but then we don't go and do what we hear in our huddle. Amen. Praise God. If I could just kind of type it that way. Amen. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I don't know if they have it up and they bring it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, starting at verse 24. Amen. If I want to title this message tonight, this morning, I just want to title it, What Are You Aiming For in Life? something a bit more practical, but maybe it can help you in this hour. And I want to speak to our younger brothers and sisters and kids, and we got graduating seniors coming in and now, so we are all in different stages. Even if you're an adult, that you need to ask that question: what are you aiming for in life? What are you aiming at? What is your goal in life? Or are you just driftwood, just floating, just going with the flow? We don't want to be that way. Amen. So let's just read this. It says, I know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. Praise the Lord. You may be seated this morning. Actually, let's just have a word of prayer. Sorry about that. Let's just pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for your love, mercy, and grace. And Father God, as we just open back the pages of your word, we ask that you'd bless it to our hearts. And Lord, help us, Father God, to just get aside so that you may say, Father God, what we need to hear, what will help us, Lord God, to be more like you, Lord. Lord, bless the Brother Dale, Brother Wade, as they're out. Bring them back home safely, Lord, this coming week. And Lord, we just commit this service into your hands. And commit myself into you, Lord. I'm nothing without you, Father God. But I'm all, Father God, with you. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I also wanted to read this scripture here in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua 1, verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein every now and then. But it doesn't say that, right? The scripture doesn't say that every now and then. But it says therein day and night. That thou, listen what the goal here is. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now listen to this. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have not just success, but good success. Amen. Because there could be bad success as well. You could be successful in life, rich, wealthy. There's a lot of rich, wealthy people in this life, but they have no clue about God. That's one type of success, but it's an earthly success. But the scripture tells us here about good, thou shalt have good success only if this book of the law or this word does not depart from your mouth and that you meditate on it day and night. It's very important, saints. Amen. So I want to title this message tonight. This morning. I'm so used to just preaching at night. I say tonight. I'm not used to preaching in Sunday morning. So you just bear with me and pray for us. Amen. So this morning I want to title this, what are you aiming for in life? Amen. And like I said, this is for our younger brothers and sisters and kids, and but it's for all of us. Amen. Because saints, we all have to have a certain goal that we're aiming for in life. Amen. We have to have something that looking forward to. Amen. Because you can't just be here, because the Bible says that without a vision, the people perish. If you have no vision in life, if you don't know what you want to do spiritually and physically, because they both tie in together, then you don't know where you're going. You're just like a piece of wood that's just floating down the river. Have you ever been to the river and you see a piece of wood just floating down? Or a piece of trash just kind of floating down, not calling you trash. But I'm just saying, a piece of something just floating down. It doesn't know where it's going, and it kind of hits the banks, kind of ricochets back up, and it just kind of floating back and forth, and doesn't have a goal. Amen. And I'm afraid a lot of people are living their lives that way, even people who say they believe the Word of God. They have no end goal, no where they want to be at in a year, or in 2 years, or in 5 years, or in 10 years. Oh, well, life is the way it is, and things are the way they are, so I'm just gonna just go with the flow and put this thing on cruise control. And remember, I've always said, when you put it on cruise control, you're going to fall asleep. Right? Whenever you put the car on cruise control, you have a higher tendency of falling asleep because you're not there moving that pedal. You're not there, you're not there holding in the pedal. Amen. You're not there holding in the gas. Amen. You're not there doing something. Amen. To cause the gas to move you forward. Amen. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. Amen. To make the gas, which is the Holy Spirit. Amen. That fire. Amen. To move you forward in this life. Amen. You're just there going with the flow. Amen. But I believe the bride of Christ is moving in this hour, and I believe the bride of Christ has a goal in this hour. Amen. Amen. She's not driftwood. She's not just anybody. Amen. That just goes with the flow and just goes with, amen. She is the bride of Christ. Amen. Who has the mind of Christ. Amen. And who has a goal to be like Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is our goal. Amen. That is our goal. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So, here in verse 24, Paul here is talking about in 1 Corinthians about a race. He brings sports into the arena, I guess you could say. And he takes people running in a race and types it with us as the bride of Christ running in this race of life. Amen. Because there's a lot of people in this, there's over 7 billion people in this world. Everybody is running for this race called life, right? But there's only going to be one victor in this hour. It's not like in schools, you know, schools nowadays, I heard somebody say that they celebrate mediocrity in schools nowadays because If you get second place, you get just as much medal as the first place does. And if you get third place, or even if you come in last, you still get a medal. It didn't always used to be that way. Amen. In God's mind, that's not how things are. There's only one victor in this hour. And that victor is the bride of Christ. Amen. In this hour. Praise God. You know what, saints? You are a victor in this hour because the scripture says that you are. We know what the end of the book says. We certainly know that it's not the devil. We know the devil's not the one that wins. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. It's Christ in you. Amen. That's the winner in this hour. Amen. So why are we so just stuck on our mindset that I'm just going to float through this life, just kind of float and let's see what happens. Amen. You have to do something in order, amen, to make that scripture, to produce that scripture that you are a winner at the end time. Amen. There's a part that you have to do. Sure, God did his part. Amen. He died for us. He made a way for our salvation. He sent a prophet in this hour. Amen. Right? He did everything he could for us. Now there's a part that you and I must do. And that part, amen, God's not going to force us to just do it. No. That's what I like about God, that he's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on you. Amen. He never has. He's given us free moral agency, right? From the beginning, he gave Adam free moral agency. And with that free moral agency, we know what happened. He made the wrong decision. Amen. And are we making the right decisions in this hour? Because remember, the decisions that you make now will affect you. Listen to me, young people. The decisions that you make now will affect you a year from now. The decisions that you make now will affect you 2 years from now. The decisions that you make right now, whatever you're thinking right now, that's what you are and that's what you'll continue to be. But that's what the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whatever you think about right now, whatever you're thinking of, that's exactly what you are. Amen. We'll get to that later. Amen. So Paul's here, he's talking about here in an Olympic relay. Amen. Because we're all running this race of life. Praise God. And nobody here, how many come here and they want to lose? When you're playing sports and when you're playing a game or when you're playing, I want to play to lose. I can't wait to play that game so that I can lose. So that everybody could just point, you know, just say I'm a loser. I can't wait. Nobody here comes here with that mentality. Nobody. Even from a young boy, a young girl, they come here with a mentality that they want to win. They want to be a victor. They want to outdo the other one, right? Now that there's a good mentality in having that, of being a wanting to win. There's also the mentality of being too competitive that you get jealous when somebody else wins. When somebody else winning and you're not in the place that you think that you need to be at, and you start getting jealous, you start getting that attitude, wait a second, and start playing a victim. That's on you. That's not the one who won. They did their part. You've got to do your part. Amen. You see, so nobody here in this world, nobody here in this life wants to lose. Amen. I remember, it was back probably around 2008. We visited Brother Joe's house. This is way before we moved here to Georgia. And we were at Brother Joe's house and Josiah was very young. I remember how old he was back in 2007, 2008, because Bella was just born. She was just a little baby. And I sat down with him. I always give this example. I sat down with him to play tic-tac-toe. I remember we were there in the kitchen floor or right there near the floor. I was playing tic-tac-toe with Josiah. And I remember that there was a moment that I looked away. I don't remember why. I looked away. And all of a sudden, Josiah puts a little circle in one of the blocks. Now, I knew that he did that. And when I looked down and I looked at him and I said, what's that? And he's like, I don't know. Now, I say that not to embarrass Josiah, but just to say this, that as little kids, he was a small child at the time, but he had that desire to win. Even him, he came into this world with that desire to win. And nobody here in this world comes in this life to win. We want to win. Amen. In this hour, saints, God has his winners in this hour. Amen. God, remember how God has a winner. And we know who the winner is. Amen. We know who the winner is. That's the bride of Christ. Praise the Lord. Are you part of that bride? Amen. Are you walking in that word? Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So here in verse 24, it says, but one receiveth the prize. Amen. Out of all those running, only one is going to receive the prize. Not five, not seven, not eight. Amen. One's going to receive the prize. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So the scripture continues to say, it says, so run that ye may obtain. Amen. That's the way we're supposed to run, to obtain, to win. That's the way we're supposed to live this life. Amen. With a mentality that I want to win. I want to run this race because I want to lose. No. I want to run this race because I want to win. Amen. And he's already won for us. Amen. He's already given us the victory. He's already paid the price for us. He's already, amen. He's already defeated the devil. He already stripped the keys from his side and kicked them out, like Brother Branham said, kicked them out. He's the one who gave us power for over hell, death, and the grave. So why not take advantage of that? Why not use that as the throttle, amen, as the gas to keep you moving, amen. But we forget about the things that God has done for us. As we move in this day, in this life, day by day, we work, we live, we raise our children, we come to church, we leave church, we do, and we forget the benefits that we have in this hour. Amen. Amen. That we have the revealed word in this hour. Amen. The revealed word. Amen. Good to see our sister. Amen. Praise the Lord. The revealed word in this hour. Amen. That's a privilege, saints. Amen. Yes. That's something that you need to be thankful for. Yes. But sometimes we don't take full advantage of that. Oh my. Maybe this is not what you come to hear, but hopefully you come here and leave here today and quickly put it to practice. Amen. Amen. Because that's why I want to say something that you can leave here today and put it to practice right away. Amen. Amen. Right away. And especially for our young people. Amen. I love our young people. I care for them. And young people, listen, if we didn't care for you, amen, we wouldn't, first of all, we wouldn't be praying for you. Second of all, we wouldn't try to stimulate you and keep you around in atmospheres that will be beneficial to you. Amen? Amen. God wants, if we want the best for you, how much more God? Amen. Amen. How much more your parents? Oh, but they just, my mom and dad, they're always just down my throat constantly just, they don't leave me alone. Everything I do, they always criticize. You may be just to think, maybe that's God speaking through them. And look to see if what you're doing goes along with His Word. Because if it's not in the Word, then why not get spanked? Huh? If it's not in the Word, then why not, amen, get rebuked? Because God does the same thing to us. If you're not in the Word, if you're not obeying His Word, if you're not following His Word the way you need to be, then you need to be rebuked. That's the only way you're going to get life, and amen, with a little baby when he's born and he's not crying, he's not moving, he's not doing anything. He needs to get that protoplasmic spank. And then he starts crying. He starts moving, right? But that was for his benefit. That wasn't to hurt the little baby. That was to make it live. Amen? And that's why God has placed a fivefold ministry in this hour. Amen? To sometimes, amen, just do that to us. Smack us in the face. Do whatever he needs to be. Stomp on our toes. Amen? But it'll cause us to leave here with some life. Amen. That's what we want is life, saints. We don't want to be zombies. Amen. So, amen. So in order to win this race of life, amen, you must run properly and with a spiritual aim and a goal and a purpose in life. Amen. Somebody said one time, amen, I like listening to a man named Earl Nightingale, and he said one time, he said, people with goals succeed because they know where they're going. Just like a boat, a ship, amen, who is docked at a dock. If the captain has studied where they're gonna go, how long it's gonna take to get there, what course they need to go through to get there. And that everything is aiming to get there. Everything, they plan everything out. They're gonna get there. Don't you think so? But if you don't plan, if let's say the ship just kinda leaves the dock and just doesn't know where it's going, it's gonna end up in a deserted island somewhere, and it's gonna end up in the middle of a sinkhole somewhere, a black hole somewhere. Why? Because it didn't have a goal. It didn't have a target. It didn't have a plan to go where they to be at a place where they want to go. Right. And you have to have a plan in this hour, saints. Right. Right. Amen. You have to know where you're going. Young people, you have to know what you want to do. What is it that you want out of life? First of all, you have to have God. If you center everything around God first, let me tell you, everything else will come out right. If you put God first in every single thing, whether it's what college I'm going to, whether it's what man or what woman I'm going to marry, even what I'm going to wear. If you put God first, you'll always come out right. Always. If you put the Word of God before you, remember David said, I always put the Word of God before me. I always put the Lord before me is what he said. Now, what does that mean? It means putting the Word before you. Saying, letting the Word have the preeminence. Amen? And when the Word has the preeminence in your life, then it's going to be able to lead you and guide you unto all truth. Praise the Lord. Amen. Look what Brother Branham says here. I like, because he talked about this, and the brothers bring it up, faith is our victory. He met this man one time, and he called him a bum. And it says here, and the brothers bring it up, okay. It says, it reminds me of one time that I don't like to say this word, but he was just a bum that came to the door. And he said, could you give me a sandwich? I said, certainly. Would you step in? And instead of making him a sandwich, I thought I'd fix him something to eat and fix him up just about what I could around the place and set him down to eat. And while he was eating, I thought I would speak to him, seeing that he was a traveler. I said, where did you come from? He just shrugged his shoulders like a little and said, nowhere. Kind of like some people, you ask the question, I don't know. Sometimes you ask little kids a question. Oh. Mm-hmm. He just shrugged his shoulders a little and said, nowhere. I said, then where are you going? And he stopped eating and looked up at me and said, nowhere. He looked around and swallowed a big bite. See, he was only just living for the moment. And that's why a lot of people, they just live for the moment. But they have no end goal. They don't know what they're going to be in 10 years. They don't know where they want their family to be in 10 years. Right. He looked around and swallowed a big bite and he said, sir, just where my hat's resting, there's where I rest. In other words, that's where I sleep. I said, I see. I said, how long have you been doing this? He said, oh, some 20 years or more, with no ambitions to better himself. Look what he says here. But let me tell you something tonight. You on the in and outside of this building, you're going to wind up at a destination one of these days. That's going to be in the valley of the shadow of death. Now let me tell you, saints, there's nowhere for you to evade that. That's one destination that you're going to have to face one day. If we're still here and we don't go if we don't get to go in a rapture, amen, you're going to have to face it one day. Amen. I want that if I have to face death, amen, you have to live your life, saints, that live your life in such a way that they'd be able to say such things that you'd want them to say about you at your funeral. What are they going to say at your funeral? Or are they just going to have to make up some things to kind of make things look good, you know? What are they going to say about you? That was a good man. He was a godly man. He was a godly father. He was a godly husband. That was a good woman. That was a godly woman who loved the Lord, who feared the Lord. That was a good kid. That was a good teenager. Because let me say, teenagers also pass away. Little girls and little boys also have to go by the grave. You're not exempt from death. Nobody is. What do you want people to say about you? Amen? You're going to wind up at a destination one of these days. That's going to be in the valley of the shadows of death. I would advise you at this hour to prepare to meet the God that will have to meet you at that hour. You'll either meet him as a masterpiece that he has worked on, or a floating piece of driftwood to go into your final destination. So don't you use this life just to drift around and float around and get a better job and to dress better and to get a new television or a better car. Life means more than that. Amen. That's not me saying it. That's Brother Branham saying it. You have to have an end goal for your life. Amen. And I've always stuck to me. Amen. What do you want? Live your life exactly the way you want people to talk about you at your funeral. Amen. You think about that, saints. So, some people think that having goals is bad, and that you shouldn't have goals, and that you shouldn't plan for life. But there's nothing wrong about that. You need to do that. Amen. Amen. Because even the Bible talks about having goals and plans. Remember when Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 14? He said that when a man sits down and counts the cost, when he's going to build the tower, he sits down and he sees how much it's going to cost, the expenses, the outgo, and all these different things. He has to sit down and plan it out before he actually starts to build the tower. Not just build the tower, just, I haven't planned nothing out, which is whatever I can get from Lowe's, that's what I'll do. You know. Oh, I have no money left to get more lumber. Well, we're just gonna have to swipe. Put it on that credit card. No plans, no goals, financially, nothing. And you say you want to get married? Some of us want to get married. And you're not even in the position to support a wife or support a husband. I'm just being real with you, all saints. You know that's how I am, and that's. I want you to think about these things, young people. Oh, we're going to live off of love. We just love one another. Laying in bed and just cuddle up and just that mushy feeling that, you know, that only goes for just a little while. That only lasts for just a while. You still have to put food on the table. You still have to go and work. You still have to go and clean the house. You still have to, you have to face these things. That's life. But you know what? When we have God, amen, in life, amen, then though I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? Amen. There's nothing that you'll be able to accomplish if you do it through Christ. Always put the Lord before you. Amen. Then marriage won't be such a hard thing. Then life won't be such a hard thing. Raising children won't be such a hard thing. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 16:6-11 says, the scripture here talks about how they prepare. They plan for the winter time, right? That was, you know, so if God was so against planning and having a goal and doing these things, then he wouldn't put these things in the Bible. Because he mentions there in that scripture, he compares to how a lazy person who doesn't plan ahead is outbeaten by an ant. How many of us can look at an ant and you see an ant, that ant is moving? I've never seen an ant stay still. I've never looked down on the ground and seen an ant or shaken an ant pile and seen the ants just sitting there to look up at you. Well, that's how some people are when you preach to them or when the word goes forth. They just gotta look up at you. And they're not moving. Nothing's changing in their life. They're just sitting there. I'm here at church. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Saints, you gotta have more ambitions than that. More than that. There's more to life than just, oh. An ant outdoes us more 100% of the time for some of us. Laziness will not take you anywhere. You know what, saints? You wanna get to a point where you wanna lose some weight or something like that? Go talk to the person who's lost weight. You want to get to a place where they're financially stable? Go talk to a person who's financially stable. Don't go talk to the person who's not financially stable, who's got credit card debt coming out of his ears and all that kind of stuff, or who is overweight and they've lost just a few pounds. Go talk to the person who's lost. You know, if you want to get to a point where you were of success in life, amen? See what they're doing, amen? That's what I recommend for you young people, amen? And go talk, amen. You wanna see, how a Christian, amen, how Brother Dale, amen, how he's come to the place where he's at, go talk to him.
Right. Amen. Yeah.
Reading and studying constantly, meditating. Yeah. And look where he's at now. Look what it's caused him to be at. Amen. He didn't get there just without a plan or just without a end goal. He had a goal in mind. And his goal is Christ.
Amen.
That should be all of our goals. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Giving Brother Dale his flowers, even though he's not here. Amen. I appreciate Brother Dale for that. Amen.
Amen.
He paid a lot of. That is a lot of work. Amen. To sacrifice time to study the word. Not just for himself, but because for you and I, amen? To come to a point where he knows where he's standing in this word. Do you know that you're where you're standing in this word? Or you're just a piece of driftwood? Easily just moved from one place to another. Like Paul said, we're like the wind, you know, that carries us from one place to the other, you know? And this one believes this, so I'm gonna just go over here. The wind blows again. I'm going to go, oh, I believe that now. Then this one believes this. And then you go over there. Saints, we have to know exactly where we're standing. Amen. Know this word, amen, is alive and it's in you. It's well. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And then Proverbs 21:5 says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to be the plentiness, but of everyone that is hasty only to want. In other words, the thoughts of the diligent, the ones that are planning ahead, they will come out ahead.
Right?
Amen. Now, saints, I wanna bring this in here that just because you're planning, just because you have a goal, doesn't always necessarily mean that you might get there. And the reason why is because the Bible says the Lord, the God orders the steps of man. You might have an end goal, but really, in reality, is God the one who steps your life, who orders your life. Right now, you may be involved in something. Right now, you may be doing something. You might have an end goal, but in reality, God's the one who has the final say-so. Amen? I'll put it like this, saints. When I was in school, when I was just graduated from high school, and that was back in 1999, but I just graduated from high school and started going to college, and I thought that I wanted to go in and do photography and graphic arts, because I was good at it. I took that in school, and I was good at it. Even my teacher, my graphic arts teacher, told me, she was the photography teacher as well, she said, man, you're good. You're good. I have an eye for photography and things like that. And I went to this certain school in Greenville, South Carolina. Went there, started doing my class. I was excited. I was like thinking, man, one day I may get to go work for National Geographic, the magazine. You know, oh man, that would be awesome. You know. Be able to go travel all the way, because I love traveling. You know that I love to go travel and I love seeing these exotic spots and be in dangerous situations and be able to take pictures of a pygmy Indian or something like that, you know. And that's what I wanted. But then when I got there and started in school for about a week or two, 3 weeks later, I had to take this drawing class with it. Now, I don't draw good. All right. Now, that my wife does better at drawing. She's good at it. And Bella and even Zoe's picking it up good, really good. I'm glad they did because I just don't do it well. And I had to take this drawing class, and we had to have this man come in the middle of the class, some older man. I would say he was older. Gray hair, almost burnt skin because of all the tanning beds that probably he goes to. Orange, wrinkly skin. There in the middle of the classroom, in like a Speedo type of thing, a bikini, shirtless, everything. That's all he was in there in the middle of the class. And I had to sit there and draw this man in a certain position. You know, and we all had to be there in the middle. Now I'm seeing this half naked man in the middle, and I'm a Christian. I just come into the message at that time. I'm like, nah, I can't do this. And then what's worse is that in the photography class I was taking, to the people in the world, they think that, you know, showing nude women and things like that is art. But, I didn't feel comfortable with that. And that's what they were showing me. Showing me, you know, take pictures of nude women and things like that. And I had to just quit. You know what? What I thought was my goal, what I thought that's what I wanted to be, I had to quickly make a choice and say, you know what? That's not for me. That's not for me. Because my soul was worth more than just that, you know? And so I got into, because I've always liked computers as well, and then I got into web development, web designing, and started building websites and all those different things. And now I am where I'm at. Probably would not have met my wife. Probably, where would I have been if I would have continued with that class? And maybe gotten a job at some magazine company in Los Angeles somewhere or something. Never would have met my wife, never would have had my children, never would have been here. God's the one who orders your steps. God's the one who has the final say-so. Amen. So you might have a goal in your life. That's fine. If it's godly, go ahead. There's nothing wrong with photography. There's nothing wrong with drawing and graphic arts. But then God, they said, wait a second. I have something better for you. Matter of fact, that just happened to one of my nieces up in Canada. She was wanting to go to she's going to college as well. She's graduating this year from high school. She was going to college like 2 or 3 hours away in Waterloo in Ontario. She was going to sleep over there at a dorm and things like that. And the course that she wanted, she couldn't get. She was capable. She had the grades for it, everything. She was not able to get it. She came to us telling us, asking us for prayer. She feels bad and upset. Well, just a few days later, I told her, I sent her something. And I said, you know, God's, what is it? God's no is not a rejection. It's a redirection. Right? And sometimes his no is not because he hates you. He's just trying to redirect you to a better route. Amen. And so now she got this offer at the University of Toronto, only like 30 minutes, 35 minutes from her house, in exactly what she wanted to be, and they're giving her a scholarship to go to the school. Amen. Way better than what she thought. I want to go to Waterloo, you know, and this is a much better deal. You see? So saints, it's always just God knows best. Right? Amen. God knows best. Let me continue. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So, man, time is just running by. So saints, you have to have goals, and you have these goals, but make them out with humility, knowing, hey, wait a second, I'm planning this out, I'm doing this, I'm there. But just as James says, in James chapter 4, verse 13 says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. In other words, I have these plans. I'm going to do this, that, and the other. I'm going to be in business. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. In other words, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Right? So it's not James here is, the Bible says to plan, but at the same time, James here is bringing out plan with humility. Plan knowing that you're open to the fact that God Change my plan if you need to. Right? Plan in that way. Change my course if you need to, for what's better for me, for my soul, because my soul is worth more than just this. Right? Plan for me, amen, that God, you can change if you, I can change, be flexible, in other words. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. That's what our life is. We're here for just a little time. So just make the most out of that time. Amen. Live your life for God. Live your life for Christ. Don't live your life for things. Don't live your life for him. Or don't live your life for her. Don't live your life for this, that, or the other. Amen. Live your life for Christ so that everything else will come out right. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's good to make plans as long as we leave room for God to change our plans. His goals take precedence over ours. Amen. We have our ideas to make our plans, but God will ultimately accomplish his sovereign desires. Amen. Now, look what Paul says here. Paul's clear-cut goals for his life. Amen. If they could bring Philippians chapter 3. Amen. Remember, saints, what is your aim in life? What is your aim in life? But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. That, here's one of his first goals, that I may win Christ. In other words, I count all these things around me, these past things that I was involved in, I count them as dung. If you know what dung is, it's, well, I don't have to explain it. Shoo shoo. That I may win Christ and be found in him. Here's another one of his goals. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Here's another goal of his, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Everything that Paul was involved in, it was for these purposes. Ultimately, it's to win Christ. Not to be rich. Not to have a big house in the middle of Atlanta or something like that. That's fine, that's nice, but that shouldn't be your end goal. Or to own some luxury vehicle or something like that. That's great. I love cars. But that shouldn't be your end goal in life. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And that I may own a Bentley and be, it doesn't say that, right? Being made comfortable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I believe that's the bride's goal, amen? To be able to obtain the resurrection of the dead. Amen? Not as though I had already attained either. We're already perfect. But I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, I want to hold on to what has held on to me. Amen. Christ is the one that's been keeping you in this hour. You're where you are. Thank for mommy and daddy. Thanks for your upbringing. But it's ultimately been God. You know, sometimes when we tell our children when we're sitting down to eat, why do we pray for our food? You ever ask that question? Because ultimately that food was grown not by mommy and daddy. Mommy and daddy maybe planted the seed, watered it, but God was the one who gave the increase. God was the one who put those green beans together, those carrots together. I can't do that, neither can you. And scientists still to this day don't know how to create a blade of grass. But yet, grass is out there. It's God. Amen. Praise God. So that's the reason why we say grace. We bless our food to thank the Lord God for providing through my mom and dad this food that I'm eating. Because if you didn't give mommy and daddy the ability to work, amen, the health to go work, then we would not have this food on our table, right? I'm just trying to be practical with our children, amen. That's the reason why we say blessing over the table. That's why we say grace, amen. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Amen. In other words, Paul is reaching for those things which are before, ahead of him, because that's his end goal, right? I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in God, in Christ Jesus. Amen. Of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's what we should be pressing for, saints. It's the price, is the mark of the price of the mark of the high calling. Amen. I'm just trying to move on here. Amen. So saints, you know, somebody said one time, said, people are where they are because that is exactly where they really want to be. Whether they will admit that or not. You are where you are right now because that's where you want to be. Otherwise, you'd be somewhere else. Otherwise, you'd be doing something else. Otherwise, you'd be thinking in a different way. But sometimes we like to just kind of cozy up to certain spirits. Oh, and play the victim card. And poor me. And nobody likes me. Poor me. Nobody wants to do this with me. Nobody wants here. Oh, you know what, saints? Me, nobody here in this church, not even Brother Dale, can force you to get to a point where you are now. Not even the devil can do it. It's your own decision. The devil comes and knocks on the door. But you're the one who has to open, say, I'm going to open up or I'm going to close. The devil's not going to rob me of my happiness. Devil's not going to rob me of my joy. Devil's not going to rob me of my fellowship with Christ. Amen. You're the one who decides if you like the spirit that you live in now, you're going to continue to be in that. You just continue to just rub that spirit. Oh, spirit, I love you. And it'll just sit there. It won't move. And then when we play the victim card, then comes the blame game. Somebody else's fault. Not my fault. It's somebody else's fault that I am where I am. You know what? The people that were out protesting out against the 1%, you know, back a couple of years ago, where are they at now? They were upset because people, you know, wealthy people who I believe they didn't get there just by getting there. They had end goals. They worked hard. You see what I'm saying? They didn't just get to become wealthy, you know, just, oh, I woke up one day and just, there's a pile of money in my living room. No. They had an end goal. But people were upset at them. They're taking all our money and all this kind of stuff. And where are they at now? You see, if you do exactly what they are doing, you'd be there too. But they want somebody to just cater something just for them. So that they can be happy. You know, that's not how life is. That's not how life is, saints. You have a part to play. And you're only going to reap what you sow. Amen. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Amen. That's why Christ said, Paul said, let this mind of Christ be in you. Amen. Remember when Paul, when God said at the beginning, let there be? Remember? And there was, right?
Right.
But before that, it had to be in his thoughts first, right?
Right?
He had to think about it first before it become expressed. And whatever is in your thoughts right now, if whatever it is that you're thinking about right now, whatever it is that you hold dear in your heart right now, that's the atmosphere that you're going to create around your life. So if you're constantly thinking everybody's against you, and you're constantly thinking that everybody's after you and everybody's after trying to do something against you and that's what you're going to portray. Because that's what you're thinking about constantly. It's in your mind. That's why the Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink saith to thee, but his heart is not with thee. That's just the law of God. Amen. So the saints, that's why we want to always have this mind of Christ be in us. How do we get the mind of Christ? That's why I read the scripture earlier, to let not this word of God depart from you day and night, but meditate on it day and night. And if you don't do that, everything else around you is going to hold to your thoughts, and everybody's against you, everybody's after you, everybody's trying to do something against you. And that's not it. If the mind of Christ was in you, if you were constantly feeding on the word, feeding on the message, feeding on what's preached, amen, at church, amen, you wouldn't have room to think these things. There wouldn't be no room to think somebody's against me. Somebody trying to do harm to me. Somebody's doing, nobody doesn't want to do this or that with me. Amen. See, because God's thoughts, amen, were the one, his thoughts created an atmosphere. Created the worlds that we have, right? And if the Spirit of Christ is in you, amen, and you're thinking his thoughts, it'll create those exact same atmospheres. My goodness, what a hard concept to grasp. But it's not hard, right?
Right.
You reap what you sow. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You know, saints, I'm going to give you this example. We got a little bit more time. Just bear with me. Coming back to that. I have this router at my house. It's a router that where internet pipes in, you know, to the house and gives me Wi-Fi, right? And I have it set on there to where there's a default way. When you connect a device to it, there's a default settings that nobody's going to be just able to access anything, YouTube or whatever, just you know, to have an open internet. Just I have certain settings that close certain things down and stuff like that. And I have to manually go in there and set certain devices when they connect to my Wi-Fi router, right, to have a certain level of security. Now, maybe some of the older people are like, what is he talking about? Huh? Security router? What is that? I mean, the younger people probably know what I'm talking about, right? One time I had this little Bluetooth light bulb that I bought just a couple of months ago that I wanted to put outside, it was going to connect to the internet and I could manually turn off the outside light, that light bulb, with my phone and it have come on its own at a certain time and turn off at a certain time and stuff like that. I had complete control of it. And I could not get that thing to connect properly to my router and you know, to connect properly, to work properly. To make a long story short, I waited several months and finally it dawned to me. Wait a second. I need to go into my router settings and look for it and set the default security mode to just open, you know, so that it have access to the internet. And sure enough, exactly when I did that, the thing started working. Now, the problem was locally in my house. I thought I had even called the company. I'd gotten to the point where I'd called the company and I said, hey, your bulb isn't working. Can you please send me a replacement? And they were going to send me a replacement. But you know what? If I would have gotten the replacement, they would have done the same thing. Because the problem was local to my home. The problem was in my house. Amen? Now, you know where I'm coming, saints. The problem sometimes is not elsewhere. The problem sometimes is local to our house. The problem sometimes might be you thinking that it's somebody else when in reality it's you. That your light bulb isn't lighting up. You blame everybody else for the state that you're in. But really, in reality, God's trying to say, you know what? You're the problem. Change your thoughts. Change your mindset. Come to me. Come to the Lord. And I will take care of the rest. That you could be the problem. You could be the hindrance to the church and not know it. I could be the hindrance to the church and not know it. Oh no, I've been in the message for 40 years. It can't be me. That has nothing to do with the message has to be in you. Just because you have the message here doesn't mean that the message is here. You're just probably just like driftwood going through the motions. Amen. And saints, the way we go, if we have children, is the way our children are going to go. They watch us. If your children doesn't pay attention in church, they're just sitting there just kind of like, oh, this is another service, you know. And things like that. Is that what you do? Not paying attention? Not thinking one thing. What am I doing for God? You know, a preacher or even Brother Dale, Brother Wade, anybody won't be able to help you if you don't think that they can help you. If you already have in your mind said, I'm not listening to this person. I'm closing off. I'm not, you know, there's nothing that he can. He's not a popular preacher. He's not Brother Dale. He's not Brother Wade. Well, then you're not going to get any benefit. And if you only come to church just when Brother Dale is here, something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with your experience. Or when just a popular preacher or famous preacher's coming through. Oh, Brother Jewel comes through. The house is packed. Even on a Wednesday. But Brother Luis is preaching or somebody else, one of the local brothers here is preaching. Oh, and we can miss out that day. Now, I understand, saints, there's some people traveling and stuff like that, but you know what, saints? I speak out of experience because I've had that attitude as well. Before. I loved it when I went to church and it was one of the good ministers. Oh man, Brother Donnie Reagan's preaching and oh man, you know, Brother Bisco. Ooh man, all them good, you know. And then when my pastor was preaching, then the Word of God won't be able to help you in life. So what is your aim in life, saints? What is your aim in life? There's a lot of material here that I haven't covered. But saints, Brother Brandon says here, no matter how good you are, how moral you are, how truthful you are, those things are respected. But Jesus said, except a man be born again. See, there's got to be something happen on the inside. If you don't, that's artificial put on. For down in your heart, you desire to do it anyhow. It can't be artificial. It's got to be real. And there's only one avenue that can come down. And that's by the way of free moral agency come into the soul by your thoughts. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you say to this mountain, move, and don't doubt it in your heart, but believe that what you have said will come to pass, you can have what you said. You get it? There you are, see? There's the battlegrounds if you'd only get that started first. So whatever you think about, that's what you are and that is what you'll become more of. If you're still living right now, if you're still alive, you have an opportunity to have a mindset change. The grace of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord is with you. Change your mindset to the Word. Amen? Praise God. So here's the key to success, young people. Here's the key to success. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's the key to not just success, but good success. Stay in the Word. put the Word of God always before you. You know what, saints? A lot of people in this life run in this life like as if they're running on a treadmill. Have you ever been on a treadmill? You know what a treadmill is? Some of us get on a treadmill and we stop getting on a treadmill because I don't see results. So. But we're running on this life on a treadmill. But we're not gaining any ground. We're not. You're running. You're doing everything. You're sweating. But man, that just doesn't change. That doesn't replace you going outside to run. You see? You see everything and you know that you're gaining ground. You know that at a certain point, when I get to a certain point, I'll stop right there. When I see a certain landmark, I'll stop right there. But some of us are just running lives on a treadmills and don't know where we're going, don't know where we've been, don't know what's going on, but we're running. I'm following the other one. We're not following the leader, we're following the follower. Just following the follower, that's all we do in life. Thanks, I want to follow the leader, and our leader is Christ, amen? Our leader is Christ. Keep your eyes on, remember that story that Brother Branham told about that boy who was in that race, and he was competing with, and some of them boys were like making fun of him. They're like, you're not going to win. Look at the kind of bite that you have. That thing, that puny little thing. Look at that. I got this thing here. Man, it cost me $1,800. I got this thing, man, nicely decked out and everything. You know, this thing. And he's like, okay, we'll see. You keep talking. I'm here for the race. Little boy gets on the bike, starts running. The race goes on. Here they go. Like the Tour de France. And you know what, saints? Everybody else started falling out. They couldn't make it. But that one boy made it. And then they asked him. He's the one who ended up winning the race. And they asked him, how did you win the race? You don't have a good bike like everybody else. You don't have... He said, I just kept my eyes towards the goal the whole time. And if we keep our eyes set on Christ the whole time, you're going to come out to be like Christ, saints. You're not going to come out to be like LeBron James. You think you're going to come out to be like LeBron James if you keep your mind on Christ? I don't want to be like LeBron James. You think you're going to come out to be like a certain movie star or a certain pop singer, you know? Emmy Lovato or whatever their name is. Justin Bieber and all these different. If you keep your mind on Christ, you think that's what you're going to be like? No. Because if you have set your mind to be like Christ, you're not going to want to be like the rest of the world. Amen? You're going to come out to be like Christ. So saints, what is your aim in life? What are you aiming for in life? Because whatever you aim for, that's what you'll hit. Whatever you aim for, that's what you'll hit. Have a plan in your life. Physically, spiritually, have goals in your life. Amen. Because remember, people that doesn't have a goal, people without a goal, people without a vision, they'll perish. The Bible says that. Amen. You love the Lord? Praise the Lord. There was a lot more here that I had that I could say. Maybe there'll be a part two another time. But I want you all to think on these things. Now let me finish it with this quote I wanted to read. They have it up. It's the one, I didn't number them. Let's see here. Okay. It's the one that says, faith is our victory. Now there is so many people. Down here. Now there is so many people that doesn't seem to have any kind of a purpose in life. Especially in this day that we now live. People just seem to think that all they have to do is to keep up with somebody else, with the fashions of the world, and with the enticements that the world has given to them. Just like this, if you go to school and some of the little girls wear a certain little frock or a dress or whatever you would call it, all the ambition the rest of the school has is to pattern after that girl. Some of the women see on the television some certain lady come out and dressed in a certain fashion. Well, that's their ambition, is to dress and to act like that. And that seems to be just about the limit of the American ambition, is to get a new job or to get a raise in your salary and to get a television or a new car. Let me say this. Those things may be all right, but there's higher ambitions in the human life than those things. And Christians should set their affection on higher ambitions. I think it would pay us all to sit down and wonder why we are here in the first place. And ever who was kind enough to bring us here, which is God, we ought to consider it and ask Him what He would have us to do. Then the purpose of us coming to fulfill what He has purposed for us. But we seem to be just wanting to keep up with the world. Now the Bible said that we could overcome the world. And how do we do it? Not by keeping up with the fashions of the world. But the Bible said that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Amen. Now I can give you that quote if you want it. But I think that's very appropriate for all of us. What is your aim in life? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's have the musicians come. Let's just sing that song, Just to Be Like Jesus, brother. Just to be like Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You love the Lord? Did you have your toes stomped on? I stomp on my toes whenever I'm studying. Yeah. Yeah, because listen, you have to look at these things yourself and be convicted yourself and say, wait a second, Lord, help me in this area. Before I can, you know, you can actually say it to the people. But saints, I don't say these things out of hate, despite, or anything else. I say it out of love because I want the best for you, especially you young people. I want the best for you. I want you, you're our future. If there is a future left to be here, if there's any more years for us to be here, you're all we have. I'm getting older. I'm not as old as some of you, but I'm getting older. I'm not going to be able to be there, you know, forever. And I need some of you young people to be spiritually minded to take this word, continue to take this word. Amen. Because that's what matters, is this word. Nothing else in this life matters but what we do for Christ or what we do for others. That's the only things that we're going to take in this life. Oh, you feel so good when you've gotten a certain little toy or a certain little gadget or a brand new car or something like that. That just makes you feel so good. It gives you that dose of dopamine, you know, for just a little while. But that doesn't last. But man, it feels so wonderful when you live your life for others. When you do something for someone. When you sacrifice yourself for someone. And you're taking the word of God and saying, Lord, I'm doing this because the Bible says, do it as unto the Lord. Oh my, that gives me eternal dopamine. Amen. That's what I want. Let's just sing that, just to be like Jesus.
To be like Jesus.
If you have need a prayer, we're more than welcome to come pray. Let's pray with you. Amen.
To be like Him.
Get a CAT scan on Tuesday. He's been having these headaches for the past 2 weeks, and they just keep coming and they won't go away and so just pray for him that everything will go well. Amen. I believe God's already done the work. Amen.
Yes.
So let's just pray with Brother Colley right now. Amen. That everything would go well. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for my brother, Lord. Lord God Almighty, these headaches, Lord God, that have been tormenting him in the past 2 weeks, Lord God, we condemn these things right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come against this, Father, because, Lord, it's not in your word. Lord God Almighty, it's against your word, Lord. So, Lord Jesus, I pray, Father, that you would just intervene, Father God, and apply that healing that you already purchased for him on the cross of Calvary, Lord God. And that when he goes in on Tuesday, Lord God, Lord, that everything would come out fine. That they would say, we don't know. We don't see anything. Oh, God, may you just be with my brother now, Father God. Bless him, Lord, and just strengthen him, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Come on, Brother Colley. We'll continue to be praying, okay? Appreciate you. God's going to, you already believe that God's going to take care of you. Lord Jesus, we pray, Father, for little Kaylee. Lord, she has a bad sore throat right now. Ask you, Heavenly Father, that you would just apply that healing that you already purchased for her, Lord. Touch her body right now. Make her well. Strengthen her as she leaves here, Father God, and that healing, Father, she starts feeling, Father God, that soreness, Lord, just start dissipating away, Lord. Father God, and just bless her, Lord. Be with my little sister in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Life's journey.
Saints, we're all in a journey.
From this earth to glory.
What is your goal? To be like Jesus?
I only ask to be like him.
Just sing that one more time. Hallelujah.
Oh, just to be like Jesus.
Different things, Heavenly Father, that they have in mind. So I pray that you help them in these matters, Lord God, and just guide them directly, Lord God. Show them your perfect will in all these things, Lord God Almighty. For I believe that's our sister's desire. I also pray, Lord, that you would bless her, Father God, and strengthen her to be able to, Heavenly Father, just, Lord, to make more time for you, Father. For we all have this desire, and we have everything else blocking, Lord God, and want to hinder us, Father God, from making time with you. So, Lord, I pray that you help her to stay steadfast, Lord God, and help her, Father God, to have much success, Lord God Almighty, with this, Father God, that we'd hear a great testimony from her just even in the next several days, Lord God, in this matter. In Jesus Christ's name, bless her now, I pray. Amen. God bless you, sister. Praise the Lord.
To be like Jesus, on earth alone, to be like Him.
Praise the Lord, saints. You love the Lord? All hearts and minds clear? Amen. If there's something that I've missed, just let me know, Bo Terrence, if there's anything that I've missed. Okay. All right, so let's just bow our heads as we're getting ready to be dismissed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, once again for the opportunity to hear your word, Lord. And thank you for your strength, Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Father, for blessing us, Father God, and speaking to our hearts, Lord. I believe, Lord God Almighty, that it was placed in the exact places where it needed to be, Lord God Almighty. For we're all in different levels in this life, Lord, growing. Some, Father God, in a different level than me, and some in different level than someone else, Lord. We're just all in different levels. But, Lord, you care for all of us, Lord God. And you want us to prosper. You want us to have good health, Lord. You want us to, Heavenly Father, be successful, Lord God. For it's your word. And most importantly, Father God, successfully spiritually. I pray that you'd help us, Heavenly Father, and bless us and help us to put these things into action, Lord God. And Lord, you'd be our portion the rest of this day. Bless Brother Bob. Strengthen him, Lord, as he brings forth your word this evening, Lord God Almighty, this afternoon. Lord, help us to, Father God, have open minds and a willingness to receive, Lord God, what you have given to my brother, Lord God. For, Father God, the word cannot help us if we're not willing to receive that word, Lord, and believe it. We commit it all into your hands. Bless the rest of this time now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be dismissed, saints.
From Bethlehem's manger came a stranger, on earth alone, to be like him.
Probably gotta listen.
My